Right now, The Ruthless Truth. Ruth Beltran and friends will put the focus on social justice. Stay tuned.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very intimate interview to share with you. This is an interview with Ms. Mika Fortson. Mika is the mother of Senior Airman Roger Fortson. For those of you who do not remember, Roger Fortson was actually murdered in his apartment back in May of 2024 as he was just at home on FaceTime with his girlfriend when an Okaloosa County Sheriff Deputy Eddie Duran knocked on his door without announcing himself as law enforcement initially and later on announcing himself and actually just shot him dead almost within seconds after he opened the door. Immediately after the shooting, Okaloosa County Sheriff Eric Aiden stated that Duran reacted in self-defense after encountering an armed man. However, that story changed after they conducted an investigation. And on May 31st, Duran was actually fired after the completion of the internal affairs investigation. This time, they said that the use of deadly force was objectively not reasonable and therefore violated agency policy. Now, because Duran got arrested, that does not mean that he was charged. So after people got to the streets, after there were protests all over the country to bring attention and to call for justice for Roger, later on, killer cop Duran was eventually charged. And now he is facing criminal charges. However, that process is going very slow. There have been several changes in that process as well. For example, just a couple of days ago, April 14th, there was a pre-trial hearing schedule, which is, you know, the hearing that takes place usually before the trial begins. However, that date was changed. There is a new hearing to hear a motion that has been filed by the killer cop. It's now scheduled for May 20th. My understanding is that it has something to do with him filing and asking the court to allow him to go work at a neighboring county or at a different county than Okaloosa County. And now the pretrial hearing has been scheduled for June 9th. I just want to share these dates with you so that you keep an eye out and also so that you can help us fill up the courts once the time comes, because this is a very important case and we need to make sure that there is accountability. Now, before we get into the gist of it, I want to just share with you that this Saturday, April 19th, is another National Day of Action. So similar to what happened on April 5th, there will be protests taking place all over the country. There are local protests taking place right here in Tampa, in St. Pete, right here in the entire Tampa Bay area. So I urge you to go to the social media pages of the organization Voices of Florida. They have done a really good job at collecting flyers from various different cities and putting them in one place so that you can easily find that information and attend a protest. So look those up for more information on actions that are going on all throughout the Tampa Bay area and the entire state of Florida this Saturday, the 19th. Now, without further ado, I want to introduce Ms. Mika Fortson. Ms. Mika is the mother of Roger Fortson, like I already mentioned. And let's go ahead and listen to this very intimate interview. For reference, I do want to let you know that in addition to Roger, Ms. Fortson also lost 16-year-old Andre Fortson a couple of months after Roger was murdered. He was unfortunately shot at an apartment complex in Atlanta. This was part of just regular violence. So Ms. Fortson has had the ability to not only see the way that the killers, her Andre, are being treated, but also compare that to the difference of how the killer of Roger Fortson is being treated. I mean, the difference in the special treatment that cops, even after they are killer cops of innocent people, receive is just outstanding. So just want to give you that information for reference, because you'll hear some information about that throughout the interview. Unfortunately, we will not be able to get through the entire interview, so make sure to catch the entire and full interview on any podcast platform at The Ruthless Truth. You can look us up in any platform. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcast, you can look up The Ruthless Truth and you'll find the entire interview. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and listen in. Mika, to start, tell us a little bit more about Roger for those of us that did not know him. I know he was 23 years old, the same age as my son, but tell us more about him.
Roger spoke soft. Roger was humble. He was compassionate. Roger was the greatest son ever. Roger owes me nothing as a son. I owe my son everything as a mother. It was nothing that I wanted. I'm talking about stuff like love, understanding, unconditional love at that, honesty, respect, obedience. It was nothing that I could want from that child that he did not do. I was still dressing my child at 23. He went to my little cousin's birthday party, April the 26th. I dressed my child to go to that birthday party.
Just so a week before.
Yes, a week before I dressed him. No, you look good in this. You look good. So it's nothing. It's nothing that he owed me. I owe my baby so much, Ruth. And it's so much. I know this a radio. I know this a show and I can't tell it all. But it's so much that that young man did. My baby, we can pull up and a person can be homeless. Whatever he have in his pocket, he going to give it to you. And I asked him one time, why you give him so much? Whatever they need to do, mama let them do it. He said, that between them, only thing I can do is give them what they asked me for.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about him, Mika. Tell us, what was he like in high school, for example? What was his spirit? I know you said that he was gentle. He had a baby face, I have to say. He looked a lot younger than he actually was.
He was, Roger was quiet. He was quiet before the Air Force. So I'm going to say he was quiet. He liked the old stuff, like the Five Heartbeats, the Temptations. Those were my babysitters when he was young.
Also.
Yes, Michael Jackson. He would, as a child before the Air Force, he would research old people like Refrigerator Perry, Wilt Chambers, I think some of the people before my time, as a matter of fact. But he would go back and he would research and he would read. That's one thing. He read all the time. Never studied for a test in his life, but he always read. So he wanted to play basketball, but he was so scrawny. So, you know, basketball, you got to be tall. So he couldn't play basketball. And Coach Salter told him, you know, come play baseball. Mm-hmm. So he was a good outfielder. He was left-handed. So, of course, he was going to be a good player because he was odd. So he played basketball. He never was the type that had to be part of the in crowd. And that was the blessing to me because of the area that we lived in. He never wanted to be part of the in crowd. He never wanted to see people hurt. If you hurt him, why you hurt him? What can we do to stop this? And it was as a child. Yeah. And as his teachers say, anytime they saw him, it was an honor because he was so smart. He was taking his classes on the computer. Because he was in AP classes. All his classes were gifted classes. So his classes, his teacher was on the computer.
Wow.
Because he was just that smart. And he liked the Harry Potter. And me and him had the thing with the DC Marvels, with the superheroes and stuff. So that was our thing. He turned me on to that and Harry Potter. When a new movie come out, you know, that's what we would go do. We would go see it.
Our kids get us into stuff that we would never think we will be doing, and suddenly you're enjoying it just because you're doing it with them. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and you know, all of us are climbing the bed. Like even when I had Roger, I had Harmony. Roger went in the house. He was went in the living room with me, and you know, I'm in labor. I'm in pain, and he's sitting trying to tell my doctor. He don't show my doctor how to revamp his whole his whole laptop. I don't know. He was. I just remember him saying, do it like this. It's gonna be easier. You just hit this." And I remember saying, "Hey, that baby down here."
Yeah,
And
hello.
the nurse was like, "Huh?" I said, "The baby is down here." And Harmony was literally, her head was literally coming out. And my doctor was like, Roger, we got us a baby." So when they opened my leg for the baby to come out, he talking about, "Ugh." I said, "What you mean, ugh? If you would have left my doctor alone, you wouldn't have had to see it."
He wouldn't have seen it, right?
It was just everybody that came in contact with him. Like he just, I used to tell people, this boy, God gave me him as a gift because he knew the other two were going to drive me crazy. And my oldest son, he told my mom, they took your gift. I said, "You remember how you said it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yep." He said, "They took your gift." And so I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I had to go in the OR for, oh, my placenta didn't come down. So he starts sending everybody pictures because I didn't even tell people that I had went in the labor. He don't send everybody pictures of Harmony, me in the recovery room. When I got my phone, everybody was cussing me out.
They're giving
They
you an update. He's giving an update on how you're doing, and you have no
were
idea.
like, "Mika, that boy is 15 and you made him go through all that." I said, "He wanted to go through it. I ain't make him go through it." They was like, "Roger, but Roger is smart." They're like, "Roger is smart. He is so smart." I was like, "Duh." That I
Right.
would say, like, "Duh." Everybody know he been smart since birth. When he went to pre-K, that lady got him out of the neighborhood school, sent him to another school. Me and Roger was in Perimeter Mall. They tried to get him to come up north. He was like, "No, I'm staying down there with you." Like he has always, he just it came easy, taking the ASVAB. The lady gave him the study guide. He said, "Oh, I don't need that. I don't study." She was like, "You don't need it." He was like, "No." And mind you, she knew not to play with him because I had to get on her too. Because when he told her he wanted to go in the Air Force and that he was from McNair, a school in the hood that has bad everything, she was like, "You sure you don't want the Army?" So I snatched the phone. "What did he tell you he want?" He said he wanted the Air Force. "Now, where are you?" So he come down there. And he got his phone back. The lady gave him the address. He hung up the phone. He was like, "Do you even think about it?" I said, "Do I look like I think about it? Now let's go take the test."
Yeah. Well, she was basically saying that he wasn't built up to it, which was
That's
an
what she was
insult.
saying.
That's what she was saying. Oh, yeah. But
And
you know your son, so you're like, wait, hold on a second. I
oh,
know what he can do.
after he took the test, he became her baby.
Oh, wow.
He was her baby. Like people said, "You got a general doing this and a general doing that," because they follow him, because his ASVAB scores, they knew what they had. Eddie Durham and people that walked out of his life, they didn't know, but they were smart enough to recognize they had a lethal weapon. See, this is a weapon. That gun is not a weapon. Your
Definitely.
brain is a weapon. That gun is a coward, but your brain is a weapon, and people don't realize that. And those generals and those colonels, they realized it. And for that man to stand up at Roger's service and say, "You'll never get another Roger," that's only a lifetime. That's only a lifetime. And I stood up and I clapped because I knew, because I carried him. I experienced it personally. I knew what he was talking about.
Now, after his murder, there was a cover-up, right? Tell us a little bit about the cover-up and the actions of the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Department.
They was trying to do a cover up for killing him, but they knew I had to come down there because they knew they did that fake warrant.
Yes, tell us a little bit about that for people that don't know, because I know when you look up his name and you read about what happened and you know, the sheriff showing up at the apartment complex and saying that they were there because of some type of disturbance. That's really all he says. But there is no mention at all about the cover-up
Oh,
and this big warrant that you do know about now. Tell us a
so
little bit about that so that
this
people know what the actions of the of the police and the sheriff department was afterwards, right? Do you get a big apology and I'm sorry we messed up?
Oh, no, no, you don't get that. So, okay, the cover up gonna start when I went down there with Attorney Crump. They wanted to release the body cam to the public. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, they didn't release to you guys what we saw. They tried to release to you guys that this officer had compassion. No, he had no compassion. On the FaceTime video, he was taunting Roger. Roger was alive, I know, for about 10 minutes after you killed him. You was telling him, don't move, don't move, don't move. When the next officer arrived on the scene, she was walking through the apartment. I guess they thought he was a drug dealer or something, right? Because once again, this is a handsome young man. You found his military gear and you say, hey, he's military. And you hear Eddie Durham say, that's when the cover-up started. But when they released the body cam, people thought he had compassion. He never had compassion for my child. He told my child to stop moving, stop moving, stop moving. But on, I think, the body cam they showed everybody, he was saying, stay with me, buddy, stay with me, buddy. No, he didn't. He was playing with my baby. My baby was begging him to help him. So they chopped it up. They showed you guys what they wanted to show you. Eric Aiden told me on his mama, if he see where it was a wrong shooting, it wasn't done right, that he was going to get justice. Soon as he showed on the body cam video and put us out and had his officers to line up in front of the sheriff's office, make a barricade where we couldn't get in there, you went to a podium and tried to make Roger look like the bad guy. Mm-hmm. So why is he still the sheriff? I don't know. I know he's bullying people. I know he's intimidating people because he thought he was going to intimidate me through one of the NAACP people. But it didn't. He found out the hard way. No, it don't work like that. So I asked him, I said, if it was you serving that warrant, would you have shot him, right? And he was like, I can't speak on that. It's an ongoing investigation. So I get home. And I find Roger's lease. The apartment complex has an off-duty state patrol that answers disturbance.
Okay.
So why was Eddie Durham there?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly,
Eddie Durham was the person that killed him. That
the sheriff deputy that shot Roger.
Mm-hmm.
He was also ex-military. So you can't even say you killed him due to poor training. You couldn't even use that. You told a lie and said his eyes looked aggressive.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
That boy got the most prettiest, innocent brown eyes. No, you're not going to say that.
We saw the video. There was no aggression on the video at all. He just opened the door. Yeah, and I need to mention that I did read on the news that they report that Duran actually knocked on the door and hit himself at first.
So he knocked on the door three times.
Okay.
The first time, see that, I think that's on, I don't know if it's on, I don't think she started recording at that point. I think she started recording on the third knock when Roger said, it's something funny going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when she started recording. He knocked on the door. He didn't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He knocked on the door again. He didn't say nothing. When he knocked the third time, that's when you hear Roger say, who, something like that. And he said, it's the sheriff. That's what he said. It's the sheriff. But when Roger go to the door, look out the peephole, he covered it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He covered up the peephole.
Mm-hmm.
So when Roger opened the door, Roger had the gun in his right hand. Roger is left-handed. Roger was holding the handle of the gun. His hand went on no trigger, nothing. It was nothing that says threat. Roger is a special operations. They put millions into training my child. I know because I prayed for my child. I prayed because there was days my baby came home and just laid his head on my lap and went to sleep. That let me know what my child was going through. All my kids, no matter how old they are, they're going to come home. When they need peace and they need to feel safe, they come home. They get in the bed with their mama.
Mm-hmm.
They get in the bed. And I knew, like, what is my child going through right now? But it's a lot that my baby couldn't tell me because of what he was in. But I knew, I never looked at the video, Ruth, and I told everybody, I said, this is how he going to be looking. I said, this is what you going to see. And everybody told me, everything you said, Mika, that's what it was. I said, I know because I know my child. I knew Roger, but he's so, the deputy is so stupid. If you had to let him live, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through.
Yeah. He had helped him like he should have.
Roger would have fought for him because I teach my children to err as human, to forgive as divine. When he first did it, all I asked him for was not to stain my baby white because I knew what they was going to get up there and say. Mm-hmm. And Sheriff Eric Aiden got up there and said it. He got up there and he said exactly what I knew he was going to say about Roger. Mm-hmm. So it was a reporter from Miami. Because a lot of people was not mad. A lot of people were hurt. And if people don't realize being mad and being hurt is two different feelings. Hurt is way worse than being mad. Because being mad and being angry, that's only for a moment. But hurt goes with people for a lifetime. Yes. The man did his own investigation. The disturbances that they tried to say they had been getting at Roger was deployed.
The disturbances at the apartment complex that they were accusing him, Roger wasn't even there for them. Oh, my goodness.
Not only that, when you go back and look at the body cam that they released, she tell him to get on the third or the fourth floor. He gets off on the wrong floor. So everything about that day was wrong. Even to the point after when they killed my baby and you knew you killed him, but you thought you covered yourself up. They were laughing.
Wow.
And said the threat handled. They said a threat handle. A neighbor was recording them from her ring and said, my heart goes out to you. She said, but believe it or not, it hurts me worse than it hurts you to just witness this. And I asked her, I said, please don't send me nothing else. I said, because right now my heart can't take it. Had I been strong enough to keep the videos and everything that people sent to me, humankind, mankind would be so disgusting. We would look despicable, sick in the mind, sick in the head. That young lady, Keely, that was a young girl. And the fact that you laugh at what they're trying to do to women today, in these days and time, is sickening to me. Mm-hmm. You laughed.
How can they laugh after witnessing that? You know, who laughs over death, basically?
She laughed. That's why I said, I tell people, he killed Roger more than one time. You killed him when you took the call. You killed him on the way there. You killed him when you arrived on the property. You mm-hmm. killed him when you got on the elevator. You killed him when you pressed the wrong floor. You killed him when you played knocking at the doors.
And covering the pee holes so they could, because why not just show who you are if you're there in an official capacity? Why play games?
Yes.
Wow. If you are just joining us, you are listening to The Ruthless Truth. We are listening to an interview with Ms. Mika Fortson. Ms. Fortson is the mother of now murdered senior airman Roger Fortson, who was murdered by an Okaloosa County Sheriff Deputy Eddie Duran back in May. At the time, Roger was just at home on FaceTime with his girlfriend, and he was just at home minding his own business when Officer Duran, killer cop Duran, I should say, knocked on his door a few times and played games and didn't let him see who he was. Because of that, Roger reached for his gun, but he had his gun facing down when he opened the door, and he was immediately murdered and shot multiple times, even as he was laying on the ground, not being a threat to anyone. As I mentioned earlier, the pretrial hearing for killer cop Eric Duran that was scheduled for April 14th was actually moved and postponed. However, Ms. Fortson and his family continued to fight for justice and still held a big rally and press conference in front of the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office that happened a couple of days ago on Monday, April 14th. Now I'm going to play some clips from many of the organizers that were at that event. We are working with the family of we are working with the Fortson family and with Mika to bring justice in this case. And it's not just like my organization, PSL Tampa Bay and the Answer Coalition, but we are also a group of organizations that include Dream Defenders, the Andrew Joseph Foundation, Black Lives Matter grassroots at the national level, the Atlanta chapter, and also the Florida chapter that are part of this. Also the Okaloosa County Black Caucus and members of the Okaloosa County NAACP are also part of the organizing force. I mean, I think I'm forgetting a name or two, but we are a coalition. So let's go ahead and listen to some of the chanting and speeches that took place at the doorsteps of the court. And keep in mind that we won't have time to listen even to the entire interview or the entire speeches, but you can find the full interview and the full program in any podcast platform under The Ruthless Truth. Let's go ahead and listen in to some of these very inspirational speeches and demand for justice for Roger.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
Holla us, please. No justice.
No peace.
No justice.
No peace.
Seize me.
Roger Fortson.
Seize me.
Roger Fortson.
Seize me.
Roger Fortson.
Seize me.
Roger Fortson.
Seize me!
Roger Fortson!
Seize me!
Roger Fortson!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Whose house?
Our house!
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 Who's got the power?
We got the power!
Who's got the power?
We got the power!
Who's got the power?
We got the power!
How long? Speak down.
Who?
Power. Speak down.
Who?
Power. A moment of silence for our dear brother Roger. Bow your heads. So if there's not somebody like us out here that's on the street getting the information at stage one, your case is already lost. Because those first 48, those 2 weeks, the sheriff is always getting the statement that he makes first. And guess what? We all know all the way back from Emmett Till, the first statement from these authorities is always a lie.
That's right.
100% always a lie. All of the investigations, all of the investigators need to be terminated. Because they never, ever, ever, never get it right. The first statement is always a lie. According to this situation, Roger was having domestic abuse in his house by himself. He answered the door, an aggressive black man with a gun in his hand pointing it at the office. He was killed faster than a human can process thought. Always alive. Whose house?
Our house.
Whose house?
Our house.
We got a few families here. We're going to allow them to introduce themselves. We're going to allow the organizations that are helping us to introduce ourselves. We are pretty much getting started right now. Say his name.
Roger Fortson.
Say his name.
Roger Fortson.
Say his name.
Roger Fortson.
Today we put some respect on him.
Bow, bow, bow.
Today we put some respect on it.
Bow, bow, bow.
Today we put some respect on it.
Bow, bow, bow.
Where we at?
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have. You can catch the full program in any podcast platform under The Ruthless Truth. And we will see you again next week. Until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight.
Get up, stand up.